If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
If you look at the website for the Illinois Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, you will see that he has clearly stated what is happening with President Trump and his executive orders and the cancellation of government contracts with targeted law firms, stripping the law firm's attorneys of their security clearances and threatening the same against any firm that dares to step out of line. And then, Attorney General, we saw last night on TV that a Chicago attorney resigned in protest. Her name is Rachel Cohen, and she told the media she resigned because her law firm, Skadden Law, made a deal with the Trump administration. And when you were speaking this week, you said, do not be complicit. Has anything like this ever happened in the history of our nation?
Not that I can think of. This is the history of our nation is built upon our Constitution that lays out a balance of powers, and amongst that is the judiciary and access to the judiciary through lawyers who represent clients. You know, I became a lawyer to be a voice for others and to exercise that capacity independently and not influenced by the federal government. And this goes against the very principle of why people become lawyers in the first place, and the very principle of our access to civil justice to resolve disputes.
One of the latest firms to settle was a firm that Doug Emhoff went to work for in January in California. Of course, he is the husband of Kamala Harris, and his firm settled for $40 million in pro bono legal services with the administration, and he wasn't happy about it. How do you put a stop to it?
I think we all, you know, I talked about using our voices. You know, we all need to use our voices. And like you mentioned, Rachel Cohen did. She stood up heroically and walked away. We have law students who are saying, who initially were targeted to go to certain firms, saying, no, I'm no longer going to such firms. And hopefully we'll have law schools that refuse to allow such firms who bend the knee to interview on their campuses. We have to come together as a legal community and fight for this independence of our profession. No matter what you believe politically, it is critically important to protect the judicial system, to protect against people suggesting in Congress suggesting to get rid of the judiciary, suggesting harm to judges that rule against them.
So
this is getting out of control,
General. Just to make it a little clearer, let me summarize it, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the Trump administration is going after lawyers or law firms that have prosecuted the president in the past or have executed policies that would be contrary to the president. They're threatening to cut off their funding because of that, sort of in a spiteful way. And these law firms, in an effort to avoid that, are promising to in turn work for the administration.
Yeah, well, it's threatening to revoking security clearance, preventing access to public buildings. Amongst the public buildings are the courts.
And the only the only thing they're accused of doing is not taking the president's side.
Right. Either suing the federal government or representing clients that the president does not like, or embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion. Based on those positions, he's suggesting that state attorneys general investigate firms that have diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
So the thing that I think is missing here, you started talking about the three branches of government and the checks and things such as that, is that the judiciary can't get in the way of the president or can't remove the president. The legislative can, and the legislature, the Republicans in the Congress are so in the president's pocket or afraid of him that they're not going to do that. I think of the Watergate situation, and was it Howard Baker or whomever went up from the Hill to the White House and said, Mr. President, it's just not going to work anymore. You've got to resign for the good of the country. There aren't those people in the Republican caucus right now.
Well, correct. And let me correct you on one thing.
Sure.
The judiciary is there to put a check either on Congress sometimes, if the Congress passes a law that's unconstitutional, or on the executive branch, if the executive branch overreaches. And in fact, in some over 10 lawsuits that we have filed collectively as attorneys general, because we have access to the judiciary, we've been able to block some of those actions.
I think the point I was making, though, is what keeps the president from just ignoring those rulings?
Well, I mean, there's been instances where we've found that he has, and we've gone in on motions to compel, and we've gotten them to restore funding, for instance. And so I know there are some who are trying to declare a constitutional crisis. I am not at that point. When the president and others in Congress started talking about impeaching a judge because of an adverse decision, fortunately, the Chief Justice spoke out. And the president backed down and said he will appeal cases and he will abide by orders. So I'm not going to declare that we're at a point where the president won't obey judicial orders, because we've seen the opposite. We've seen that he has, or the government at large has, but we've gone in on motions to compel in those cases.
And really what it comes down to is, if lawyers are being punished for taking cases, then the rights of the defendants come into play. So doesn't that threaten the very right of every person in this country to a fair trial and the right to counsel?
That's the effect of it. You know, the late Justice John Paul Stevens referenced Shakespeare's Henry VI, where it was said, first thing we do is let's kill all the lawyers. A lot of people interpreted that to be disparaging to lawyers, but what Stevens said in an opinion in 1985 was that disposing of lawyers is a first step in the direction of totalitarianism, form of government. That was telling.
And all you can use is the court to stop this, right?
That's correct. If Congress does not want to step up and is yielding their power, either the power of the purse or the power to legislate to the president, then we have to step in, and we have to have access to the courts. And it's not all through state attorneys general; it's through private attorneys as well.
And for those big firms that are bending a knee, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say shame on you, and I understand the pressures, but we have to stay strong as a legal community together. You know, there's the famous quote of Martin Niemöller, where you have either firms who have been targeted or firms who have not yet been targeted being quiet. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. And then it goes through the trade unionists and the Jews, and then they came for me, but there was no one to speak for me. And unless everybody speaks out as a legal community, and I'm proud of these students, I'm proud of lawyers such as Rachel Cohen who stepped away. Those are acts of bravery and selflessness in defense of access to legal civil justice.
Attorney General Raul, thank you for joining us. So, Steve, go ahead.
Well, just one more, General. I don't know if Illinois was part of this suit against the Trump administration's cutting off grants to teachers over DEI programs. Were you part of that?
Yeah, we were.
So the Supreme Court today ruled in favor of the president and against you. I just wonder what your comment is on that.
We're evaluating the opinion and the reach of it. It affects the Administrative Procedures Act that just came out, so we're evaluating it, and we will see what the response will be and the impact on other cases, if any.
And that's one of the issues as well. The administration demands that, among other things, they need to abandon diversity, equity, and inclusion practices and then also provide pro bono work.
And they broadly define diversity, equity. There can be a diversity, equity, inclusion program that might be violative of the 14th Amendment, but they're broadly defining it. There are a lot of legal diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and to punish people for basically utilizing the words diversity, equity, and inclusion is just violative of First Amendment as well as other constitutional protections.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul.